The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. This is the next to last until July. So take us in, people, because you won't be listening to us for, well, you listen to us again next week. And then you're going to really, really miss us until past July 4th. So that's a pretty long time. What are you going to do with the time off, Simon?
Sleep.
You're going to sleep for a month and a half?
Fuck yeah. I was going to sleep about half an hour ago. And I was like, oh no.
Can't go to sleep. After everything you went through with the draft book, I think a month and a half is about right.
This literally, although actually I'm about 10,000 words into the next one.
You know what? You know what you should do, Simon? Take this month and a half off the air, right? And just do that book for 2025. And all you got to do is just modify it as events unfold.
It's enjoyable when there's no pressure and I'm doing all the, like, the off field stuff. So I'm just going to wait and do the, like, I watch some cursory game of each player now just to kind of get a bit of a vibe. But the off-field stuff is the fascinating thing. It's not just finding out this. But there's no pressure to, like, get it done because it doesn't have to be done for, like, 350 days. So I'm just, like, living the absolute life of Riley. But I've done most of the quarterbacks and about half the running backs. So, yeah, it's good. Now,
you know what? I'm going to take the show completely off course. You know, there's just so much we could talk about Odell Beckham. I think we're all going to be in agreement that we like the acquisition. I love the acquisition. I know Chris likes it as well. We're going to get Simon on record in a little bit right here. But I'm going to take it a little bit off course. What do you make, since you're into that right now, what do you make of the offseason that Shedeur Sanders is having? He's dropping a rap album now.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of the more polarizing evaluations that we've seen over the last 20 years, especially when you consider, like, the on-field stuff is good. Like, yes, there's no denying the on-field stuff is good. And
he's a good football player.
He's a good football player. He's a smart football player. I think there are things that he needs to improve on, quickening things up a little bit, the decision-making at times. But he's got a great arm. I think early on last season, you know, you look at TCU, look at Colorado State, I thought he played really, really well in big moments. He was banged up a lot last year behind the offensive line. I think it'll be interesting to see now that Dion's rebuilt that line to see how he plays when he's healthy. I think that the NFL is a conservative league in terms of, you look at ownership. And I choose my words slightly carefully here, but I think that the brand is something that conservative Republican, mainly Republican ownership will not necessarily look at and celebrate, if that makes sense. I think going on to social media and calling out former teammates who didn't fit in or didn't play very well and saying you don't even remember them, they must be really mid, and the rap album and the calling out of former offensive coaches. And I just think it's a terrible look. And I don't really understand it from Dion's point of view either, because Dion understands he's played the game as a professional, but he's also been a coach and he's worked for many years in the media. So I don't kind of get it. And I don't really know what the end game is. You know, I just think that the quarterback class next year is really intriguing in that there isn't necessarily one standout candidate. There's quite a few players who are slightly off radar, who actually, you know, historically we've seen over the last few years, you know, guys kind of coming up on the rails late, you know, who've had big seasons, whether that's a, you know, whether that's a Baker Mayfield or a, you know, Jaden Daniels or whoever, you know, over the last few years. But this year as well, you can look at guys like Connor Wiegman of Texas A&M, who's, a, you know, a guy that, you know, might just was injured after get, you know, had four really good games last year, only started eight games. Had four really good games last year, broke his foot, plays at a really good team, Texas A&M, in terms of, you know, he's got surrounding talent. You look at Noah Fifita of Arizona. I know he's undersized, but, it, you know, he is a really good player. Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, a guy I know you like, Alf, in terms of, you know, USC transfer, five-star kid, Gatorade National Player of the Year, not just California Player of the Year. 67 touchdowns as a high school senior. He's kind of bounced around a little bit, but...
And he has the perfect storm. In my opinion, I think he has the perfect storm because his team is going to be really good this year.
Yeah, exactly. Same as Quinn Ewers. Texas is going to be really good. Same as the kid that's gone to Ohio State, Will Howard. That, you know, Ohio State have got returning so many players. I could probably quarterback them to the national championship game. You know, Riley Leonard's going to Notre Dame. There's the kid at Miami, Cam Ward. There's the Jaden Daniels kid at Kansas, who is a really high upside player with a big arm, but he's been injured, missed 14 of the last 26 games over the last two seasons at Kansas with shoulder and back injuries. But he's an electric player. He's a little bit undersized, 6 foot, but he's an electric player. And I just think with Shadur, he has so much talent, so much natural talent. The arm, he's really good in the pocket in terms of how he manipulates the pocket. But I just do think that, you know, some of the off-field dramas just will not appeal to NFL GMs and certainly won't appeal to owners, taking down critics on social media, the constant, almost daily sort of jawing online. And I don't think it's, Chris, it'll take a big leap of faith for somebody to embrace that sort of circus, knowing that, you know, owners are conservative, not only in their politics, but also their general outlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Deion... He never had the reputation going through high school with Shadur as that helicopter dad that's almost unbearable, that you start to think to yourself, you know, maybe this kid's not even worth it because his father's such a pain in the ass, you know?
Yeah. I remember Deion was a bit of a pain in the ass at Florida State, but the talent was just so insane that it was, you know, you go back and look at like Randy Moss. Randy Moss was a pain in the ass at first at Notre Dame, then at Florida State, you know, and then finally kind of got it together. But Deion was never really a pain in the ass. He just had a big opinion of himself, which he backed up, you know. And I know that this, you know, this is a long time before social media, but, you know, he backed it up every single week as a DB and a kick returner at Florida State, did so with baseball, went straight into the NFL.
And contrary to popular belief, he never drank or partied at all.
Really. No, not at all. He wasn't that kind of guy. And I'm not sure Shadur is necessarily a party guy, but I just think, you know, and NIL has changed the game completely, but, you know, he's got, I mean, and I don't blame these kids, but, you know, Shadur literally drives her. He's got a Dodge Durango, a Maybach, Mercedes Maybach, a Lamborghini, a Rolls Royce Cullinan. And you just think, I don't know. It's the same as, is it Carson Beck that bought the Lamborghini? It's like, you know, it's different times, but it is fascinating to see what will happen. And I think he's going to have to turn in a really big year on the field to allay some of the off the field issues. Because if he gets injured or if he doesn't play as well, and I do think people will start to wonder whether or not it's just worth the hassle, knowing that, you know, who knows what he's going to do. Like Deion talking about, he's only going to play for certain teams. And, you know,
yeah, the fear is that Deion's going to start showing up at practice and, you know, being the ultimate helicopter dad, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody wants that. And I certainly don't think an NFL head coach is going to want Deion turning up at practice and starting shouting the odds about his son, or in the pre-draft process saying he's only going to go and play in the major markets, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. He's not going to go to Jacksonville. He's not going to go to Tennessee. He's not going to, you know, that would just be, you know, I know we've had it before with Eli and with John Elway, but, you know, to rule out half the league. I mean, draft night could be an absolute car crash if that happens. You know, can you imagine? If he says that, you know, let's say he has an amazing season next year, wins the Heisman, plays unbelievably, solidifies himself as the number one pick, and then Dion comes out and says he's only going to play for six teams, and none of those six are picking in the top 10. I mean, what happens on draft night? What if he, let's say, the Titans end up with the first overall pick, Will Levis flames out, Titans need a quarterback, and he's not going to play at Tennessee, but Tennessee draft him. And then, it could be absolute mayhem. So, yeah, I just don't know that owners just want to risk that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, though. We're don't you think that we're heading? I mean, so this has only happened a couple times, right? Eli Manning did it. I think back in the 80s, it was a little bit, more popular. This thing where, hey, you may be picking number one, but I'm not playing for you. You know, that kind of thing. Don't you think we're heading there with the NIL? Don't you think that the NIL, changing the landscape of college football, is going to make that sort of negotiation, two-sided negotiation, a little more prevalent as you start to go further and further along, and because it's not really a two-sided negotiation if one side always holds the power and the resources, right? And I think that NIL, what NIL does is empowering, the players a little bit more, and makes them say, it makes them, puts them in a better position for negotiation. And I wonder if, as we go along, we're just going to see, that's just, at some point, that's going to become a fact of life. It's not just who gets the number one pick anymore. It's actually, it's kind of a two-sided negotiation.
But I can't see the NFL, with all the money that it has, all the power that it has, accepting a scenario in which what has made it so successful as a product over the last, 20 years, 30 years, New England aside, is the parity element of it. Yes. I can't see the NFL just saying, actually, the classic teams that people only want to play for, so the Raiders, the Commanders, the Cowboys, those teams are by nature going to be the teams that people gravitate towards, and therefore, the NFL draft will end as we know it, and so will the NBA draft and the Major League Baseball draft and all of those. I just can't see that happening as a thing. I think the NFL would fight so hard to protect what makes it so special, especially given how enormous the draft culture has become in terms of, you look how big the Senior Bowl is, look how the event, the Combine is, look at how 750,000 people turned up in Detroit. Look at what it was like in Nashville a couple of years. It's going to be mad next year in Green Bay in terms of that site outside the atrium at Green Bay and stuff will look unbelievable. So I don't know. I mean, I wonder how hard the NFL will push to protect its position when it comes to something like the draft, because it's such an important heritage point. And I don't know what you guys think, but at some point there's going to have to be some sort of, isn't there going to have to be some sort of kind of curbing of NIL in terms of, because
the NBA. It happened in the NBA. The NBA changed their CBA to essentially enforce even more parity by making it essentially putting the bigger markets at a disadvantage to be able to poach players from smaller markets.
So when's our CBA deal? 2027, is it? Is that when the new
I believe deal? That's when it is. Okay. And look, it's worked in the NBA, because right now you have a team in Minnesota and a team. First of all, Denver won the title last year. This year you have a team in Minnesota and a team in Oklahoma City. And those two are the favorites.
In the NBA, do you not still have kids leaving high school and going straight to the NBA? Is that still a thing?
No, that's not a thing.
It's not a thing anymore.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Interesting. But what's happened in the NBA is that guys hit free agency and they have the 15% rule, which is to the teams that want to retain a free agent can pay 15% above market. And not only 15% above, but it's 15% prorated year over year. So the rate of raise goes higher. It's 15% if you retain your player. If you are a team poaching a free agent, your rate of raise is only 5%.
Right. So, but the NBA has a lot of tools in their free agency and contract negotiations that the NFL simply doesn't have and won't touch. I mean, the NBA has maximum amounts for contracts. I mean, what you're talking about with the 15% over is a 15% over a maximum contract level. There is no such thing as a contract maximum in the NFL. See, if an NFL team wants to pay an NFL player $100 million a year, they can do that. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of incomparable there. I just think that, you know, if you're thinking about more and more, college and NFL used to be two separate animals, right? And everybody's like, oh, the NFL needs a league where player, you know, a minor league or something like that. Well, kind of college was the minor league. Yeah. But it was, you know, unpaid, and so it was a completely different animal. Now, I think with NIL and the way things are going, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. And I don't know if it's going to necessarily be curbed so much as it will reach some sort of stabilization, as, you know, all systems do in time. But what does that stabilization look like? And what does it look like relative to the NFL? And what, you know, because the NFL, you're right, Simon, they have every incentive to try and keep the relationship exactly as it is. They're capitalizing off of it. And but, you know, it's just going to be changed. And 10 years from now, things are not going to look like what they are right now, is my feeling. And I just wonder how that will manifest, you know, how that will manifest ultimately, especially in the transition between players going from college to the NFL, and possibly, you know, from, hey, I'm looking to go to the NFL. Well, no, psych, I didn't go where I wanted to go in the draft. I'm going to go back to college, and I'm going to make my NIL money, you know. So it's really setting off and it's very scary for people because of it, because it's an unknown set of consequences. It's an unknown what sort of equilibrium is going to end up being. But it is fascinating.
I think there'll be a test case, and it may well be Sanders, in terms of, you know, somebody that completely bucks the trend and announces that they're only going to play for six teams. And when draft day happens, they either get selected by one of those non-six teams, or they end up falling. Because let's say he picks six teams, and those teams are the Chiefs, the Bills, the Chargers, the Eagles, and a couple other teams with, like, absolutely the Bengals and the Dolphins or the Packers or whoever, with, you know, high flying, high level quarterbacks, right? And, you know, they're not going to want to spend a first round pick. So all of a sudden, Shedeur Sanders' bottom line, which is ultimately what this is about, is then affected, because he might fall into the third round or the fourth round. You know, and nobody else can take him, because they know they're just wasting a draft pick. And you're not going to waste a day one draft pick, a day two draft pick or day one draft pick on a kid that you know that isn't going to come and play for you. And so all of a sudden, when Shedeur Sanders should be signing a 5-year, $15 million contract for being the third overall pick or whatever it is, a $20 million contract, he's all of a sudden signing a 4-year, $700,000 contract. And I think at that point, that's when it could become an issue for these kids thinking, actually, I can try and buck the system. I don't think the system can.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of trial and error. You know, like.
But I also think there'll be a lot of collusion amongst NFL teams who'll be like, we don't want to fuck this system. This system works for us. It works for our league. It works for the players. You know, it would not surprise me if the NFL came together and said, you know what, Shedeur, if that's what you want to do, good luck to you, buddy. And you end up going undrafted. You'll earn, you know, absolute pittance.
Happened with Elway. The baseball owners were upset with George Steinbrenner because he was the one that went out there and said, I'll give John Elway $3 million to play, to be a pitcher here, because John Elway was just like Dan Marino. Dan Marino also got drafted,
and there's no USFL, there's no kind of, you know, buddy league that's going to end up paying you, you know, like they did with, you know, all those players that went to the USFL back in the day, and the threat to the NFL to go and play for the, you know, the New Jersey Generals and whoever else, and the Tampa Bay Bandits. That's just not there anymore. You know, there is no, you know, good luck in Canada, Shadur, if that's what you want to do. But I think he will be the ultimate test case if they really do go through with it. But I don't know. I just can't see the NFL giving up the power of the draft and draft season and all the things that happen and the exciting stuff, and the combine has become this weekend event. And look how massive the draft is. I just can't think that, you know.
Well, what if the NCAA? I mean, because they are a money making league. Let's put it, you know, they're a conglomeration of money making institutions. And what if they start to issue, be a little bit loosey goosey with the eligibility rules? So what if, you know, no, there is no USFL anymore, right? There is no, but what if there is still the NCAA and the NIL money, you know?
Yeah. All right. Maybe. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we will talk about what this show was supposed to be about. And that's Odell Beckham Jr. But first, these words.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that Disney homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. I'm glad I derailed that because it's just, well, there's no way we're going to do 35 minutes on Odell Beckham, although we're going to try. This show, again, as always, is brought to you by Prize Picks. I don't have to say that line anymore about if you're not in Florida because they are back in Florida. So it's active. The promo code 5 is active. FIVE. You deposit $100, you get $100. It is as simple as that. And of course, betteredge.com. It's the NBA playoffs. You go to betteredge.com/5 reasons. You get $20 just for signing up. All right. Dolphins signed Odell Beckham. We kind of expected it, although it seemed like Odell Beckham was probably holding out for a few dollars more. He ended up getting 3 on the table and up to 8.25. I don't know the mechanisms of how he gets to 8.25. I have doubts he'll get to 8.25 because unless Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill gets injured, those targets should be sparse. So your thoughts, Simon? I think this is a great signing. I think it frees up Jalen Waddle and Tyreek to work the slot. And I think it puts maybe River Craycraft, maybe Braxton Berrios in jeopardy. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, lots of thoughts. I think obviously it's a really good signing. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a really good team player. I know he gets quite a bad rap. You know, historically he's had quite a bad rap for being a diva, but I think actually that's not true. I think he's a really good team guy. He's really well liked by the players that play around him. I think it's a smart move financially for the Dolphins. Obviously, the biggest question mark, as with so many players that seem to end up with the Dolphins, is injuries and can he stay healthy? I thought Albert Breer made a really good point in his column yesterday, which was about the fact that, you know, Baltimore signed him to that $15 million contract, but actually they didn't really get him until the season. He almost had to play his way into form. And I think people kind of thought that earlier in the year, his legs had gone a little bit. And actually, I think it was just him getting his legs under him. And I think if you go back to that 2022/23 season when the Rams won the Super Bowl, he was deadly down the stretch. He, mm-hmm. you know, he was looked like Odell Beckham of old, and in the playoffs,
he's going to be MVP of that Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, until the injury, he probably would have been the MVP. I mean, he was brilliant in the Super Bowl until he got injured. You know, the bottom line is that this is a guy who's had 2 significant knee injuries. You know, he's in his 30s, but you know, you're not relying on him to be the number one. And if he can stay healthy, you know, I think he's a really valuable player. He can body up, he's big, he's physical after the catch, and I don't think he's lost. I think when he was really healthy, both with the Rams but also with the Ravens last year, I think that he didn't seem to have lost an awful lot of speed or his route running. I thought his route running with the Rams was absolutely sensational down the stretch. He can block. Obviously the 49ers were interested in him back in the day in terms of, you know, when he left the Giants, and so McDaniel would have known all about him, as Breer said yesterday. So I think it's, you know, it's an absolute, you know, no lose for Miami. I think the losers might be Berrios, Craycraft, and Ezukanma. I mean, look, Ezukanma's barely played in 2 seasons and, you know, has flashed in camp a couple of times, but it's, you know, shit or get off the pot time. Berrios, you know, might end up on the roster because of the new kickoff rules, but, you know, there are other players capable of returning kicks. Jalen Wright, for example, can return kicks. I think River is an interesting one because he blocks, but he doesn't catch the ball nearly as much as Berrios, although he was hurt a lot last year. I really think, you know, and certainly from speaking to somebody within the Dolphins over the past 72 hours, there is a movement already building around these 2 rookies in terms of, you know, how well liked they are. Yeah. McDaniel absolutely loves Malik Washington in terms of what he can do, where he can play. And I think they'll specifically have a role for him that won't be, as Chris has said, very, you know, very intelligently on social media. They won't, I don't think they're going to get him in and just make him learn 3 positions. You know, I think they want him to be a slot receiver. They're not going to play him out wide at Z, or they're not going to play him at the X. I think he's the slot. He's the guy that can, you know, that can move the chains, can find dead zones underneath. And I think in Taj Washington as well, as another player that they didn't expect to be on the board, got him. And I think, you know, there is a role there. So I think there'll be a huge battle. And already the first 3 spots are absolutely nailed. And I would argue pretty much that Malik Washington has made the team already. He'd have to do something pretty drastically bad in camp to not make the team. And then you're looking at one, maybe two from six or seven other guys, including, you know, a guy that we've talked about on this pod, Chris, in Braylon Sanders, who we know that the team likes and has kept around. And, you know, so there's all sorts of options for them to go with. But I think Berrios, Ezukanma, and Craycraft have got to be kind of, they've got to know they've got a really big camp coming up.
You know, when it comes to, first off, the deal, it deserves to be said, $3 million base with incentives up to $8.25 million. The incentives are probably not likely to be earned, which means that he wouldn't have triggered them the year before, neither he nor the Dolphins, because, you know, an incentive could be making the playoffs and winning a playoff game, for example. It means that they wouldn't have triggered the year before, and he had, what, 565 yards, three touchdowns, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, that kind of gives you at least a little bit of sense of where those incentives are. And I say that because before they signed him, they only had like $3.8 million underneath the salary cap, and they signed him with a $3 million base. So you do the math as to, you know, how much of those incentives can actually be counting against the cap this year, which is what likely to be earned incentives would do. So the fact that they got him on this deal is, you know, compare it to the $15 million contract just 1 year ago that the Baltimore Ravens had to sign him to. And that was something that Albert Breer talked about, is, you know, looking at that it has fallen way off a cliff, the amount of compensation. And ironically, he's probably in better position to do damage for the Miami Dolphins for the full season than he was a year ago with the Baltimore Ravens, because, as Simon said, he was just getting his legs under him, just getting his legs back for much of the season. He had to play his way into game shape. I think one of the executives that Albert Breer talked to, that was the point that they made, that he really had to play his way into game shape. And once he got into game shape, he was doing quote unquote Odell Beckham things, you know? And I think that's Miami is getting him only 3 or 4 months out from the last time we can verify that he was in real NFL game shape, you know, which was in the playoffs for the Baltimore Ravens just about 4 months ago. So I think, you know, as opposed to a year and a half, which is what the Baltimore Ravens have got, he hadn't played football in a year and a half. So I think that we're probably getting him in a better position to contribute, and to contribute right away, and to be Odell Beckham. Will he stay healthy for the whole season? You know, that's always a question mark. But let me ask you a question and see if you guys get the answer. I'll ask you to guess. You know, what percentage of the time do you think that Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle were on the field together last year?
55%.
What was Simon's guess?
40.
40. You cheated.
No, I didn't.
No, that's exactly right. They're 40. They were only on the field 40% of the time together. And a lot of those snaps when they were not on the field together, and by the way, at least one of them was healthy for every single game last year. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill played 17 out of 18 games. I believe Jaylen Waddle played 15 out of 18 games. And at least one of them was healthy. Guess out what percentage of the time neither of them were on the field. And keeping in mind, every single game featured at least one of them, you know, fully healthy.
What
percentage? Zero of Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
18%.
20. 30. Close enough.
Really? 20%?
20% of the time. 20% of the time, neither one of them was on the field together. And those plays were often run plays. They were like, I believe it was something like 80% running plays or something like that. And so the three wide receiver package that the Miami had going with both Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle on the field together was dominated by Braxton Berrios as that third wide receiver. But that was a 90% passing, you know, package. Okay. Because Braxton Berrios, you know, small as he is, slot guy, you know, and Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle aren't exactly, you know, beefy big run blockers. That was their passing, their pass personnel package, basically, was three wide receivers with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Braxton Berrios together. And it was pretty much pass only. Getting the three of these guys on the field together gives them more options as to what they could be doing out of that three wide receiver personnel with all of them on it. But then also, very importantly, that's 60% of the plays when you don't have Tyreek Hill. Like, how many of those are 21? How many of those are two running back or two tight end, you know, situations? So where you only have two wide receivers on the field, but one of them, only one of them, is Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill. Like, that other guy has to be somebody. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Malik Washington in a two wide receiver set? You know, Malik Washington, like Simon just said, and as I've made the point, he is a sixth round rookie. They don't throw too much onto the plate of those guys. And you're going to ask him to play three different wide receiver positions as a rookie. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think the Dolphins ever thought that that was going to be the case. So they really needed to make this happen. And so Odell Beckham can be the other wide receiver in those two wide receiver packages, right? He can be the third wide receiver in a three wide receiver package with Tyreek and Jalen. And that can be, now that doesn't have to be just like a pass only package. It can be run or pass. And really, what have we been bitching about for 2 years with respect to the play calling and the huddle organization and the play clock getting down to zero as they're snapping the ball, delay of game penalties, all these organization problems? Even Tua last year after a game, like he kind of, you know, uncharacteristically bitched about it too. And so I think that if you have a personnel grouping with the three wide receivers that is more versatile, to where you don't have to keep packaging them off the field and then putting a different package on the field as part of your play calling process, then that will give you more time at the line of scrimmage. That will give Tua more time to, you know, I think when he was bitching about it, he was kind of talking about, I don't have the time to correct somebody when they line up wrong. I have to get the snap off, you know? And so that'll give him time to get everybody lined up correctly. Maybe even, God forbid, give him time to check into a different play if it doesn't look like the right defensive look. So part of this is part of that streamlining of the process of the play call, you know, personnel packaging, huddle, you know, getting up to the line of scrimmage, going through your motions. Everybody, we talk about the bells and whistles and the fast motions and formation changes and stuff like that. All of that takes time. Well, if we're removing sub-packaging from that process, then we're saving time now. And that leaves more time for everybody else to get comfortable and to do that. So having that three wide receiver grouping where Odell Beckham, you know, hey, if you want to move Jalen Waddle inside, he was a very dangerous slot receiver in his rookie year. He was, you know, OJ McDuffie reborn. If you want to do that, you can do that. Tyreek Hill can move inside. You can do that now because you have a guy that can move outside, and his name is not Braxton Berrios. I don't think he's going to move outside. I don't think he's going to really act like an X or a Z. I think that it's not Braxton Berrios and it's not Malik Washington. And it's a guy that can actually move outside. And so that's part of the appeal here.
All right. And we're going to leave it there. And next week, it's going to be our last show until we come back after the 4th of July. I guess we will talk about what Miami can do with that $18.5 million that they're getting back for Xavien Howard. Just for a little housekeeping, Chris, on the way out, that $18.5 that they're getting back, how much do they need for the draft class? What do they have left to sign a safety and an interior offensive lineman?
Well, if you really track it, there's not that much money that's truly discretionary, because they're probably going to need about $5 million or something like that for the draft class itself. And they also like to keep a little bit of money around during the season for
just in case,
you know, for just in case purposes. And I think that that's something people don't necessarily, you know, think about. But yeah, I think that probably have a good $5 or $6 million to play with. But otherwise, a lot of that's going to be earmarked. And keep in mind also, they've got some contracts to give out, right?
Yes.
And so some of these contracts could involve giving a guy a pay raise, you know, in the first year, even though the extension is always going to be looked at a certain way, but it could still happen that way. And that'll save you some of your future cap expenses.
All right. And we're going to leave it there. We'll get into that next week, as next week is our last show until July. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.